I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Growing Greater brings you stories of innovators, entrepreneurs, and business leaders who are transforming industries and communities as they turn ideas into reality, embrace risk, and invest in new technologies and relationships, all while building legacies of tomorrow. While Growing Greater originates in the city where modern democracy was founded and where innovation is part of the regional DNA, Philadelphia, we bring you stories from around the corner and around the world. Tune in to Growing Greater at radio.com or anywhere you get your podcasts.
I saw you when you came to town this time last year.
Yeah.
You were funny as hell as always.
I appreciate it, man.
You were fantastic. I actually saw you after the show. You were so nice to me and my fiance, my whole group. You were awesome.
Well, thanks, man. Yeah, I've never been to Punchline.
Punchline is my favorite place in the city.
Oh, is that right?
Best place to see comedy. I host like a night once a month there. They are awesome. You're going to love it.
Well, I like the people who run the Punchline.
Yeah,
the Punchline,
for sure.
San Francisco. It's business. And
yeah.
When there's two clubs, there's competition. And
for sure.
When you're the only show in town, you can basically pay people what you want.
Yeah.
And then when somebody else opens up, you'd be like, well, this is this offer.
Yeah. Things you just got interesting.
Yeah. I try to not get into the muck of that shit.
Yeah, for sure.
But, yeah, I know a couple people who have taken the trip over the tracks.
Yeah.
To the Punchline.
Punchline's where it's at. Great people over there. It's a great room for comedy, too.
I'm psyched to go over there, man. I'm psyched.
It was my fiance's birthday, too, when we saw you, and she was, like, wasted by the end of the night when she saw you. I think she was kind of hitting on you, too, which was kind of awkward for everyone involved.
Colina!
Yeah. She was very excited to see you. She's, like, you're, like, one of her favorites.
Was it people do get handsy in the meet and greet?
Yeah.
At least once a weekend.
Really?
Wow. Somebody will grab my
Really? No lie.
What?
At least.
I don't think she was that bad. Though.
No, she wasn't. But at least once a weekend. And I have to go, hey, that's not okay.
Yeah.
And it's always a white woman over the age of 40. And they're like, you love it.
It's your big night out.
No,
I just love it when a stranger grabs my Do I love it?
Yeah.
Do
Are you
I
sure
really
about that?
Oh.
They had one too many white claws and...
Oh, they're worse than bachelorette parties.
That's horrible.
Wow.
I see a table of like 4 to 8 wealthy-ish looking over 40 white women. Right away, I think they're not going to last the whole show.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to kick those mother...
Got two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow night too, right?
Yeah
for sure. I love your whole style of comedy.
Are we recording something right now?
Yeah. Yeah, we're just riffing.
Oh, okay. Rolling.
Yeah.
Oh, rolling.
Yeah.
Just... I may not have gotten in so hard on the white women.
We can cut it. We can cut whatever
you
want out.
Headline of the podcast.
So, yeah, right. That's the subject line. Josh Wolf hates white women.
Yeah.
Over the age of 40.
I may not have gotten in quite as hard on the white women. Yeah.
Do you find comedy in 2019 is hard?
No, I don't. You know, I think if you go to a comedy show and you're offended, it's at this point in the game, it's your own problem. You know, we all have Google.
Yeah.
You don't want to be offended? Do some research. Find out who you're going to see.
Right.
And there's so many great comics who do so many different things. You can find from Brian Regan to Bill Burr, right?
His new stand-up is hilarious.
But some people hate it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but if you don't like it, cool. There's Brian Regan.
Right.
Brian Regan and super squeaky clean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the Renaissance age of comedy. So there's more good comedy now than there's ever been. So you don't like something? There's so much more. And for me, I don't do politics and social issues, so it's not really an issue for me. But it's only people are looking to catch people. They want to be the gotcha person. Look what I found. Right?
Right.
And I think that's just, I think, you know, this is a country of snitches right now.
Yeah.
You can't wait to snitch on somebody. You can't wait to, And I've always said this. If you took the five worst things you've ever said, you want everyone to judge you by those things?
Right. We would all be canceled if that was the case.
Everything.
Like, no one should be able to throw a stone. I mean, that's just the way it is.
No, you know, I've made, and sometimes you just, I talk so much, and I have for so many years, I'm sure you could put together greatest hits of holy f***. You know, and tweets and.
If you dug deep on anyone's Twitter, like, you'll find from a few years ago. And
oh, yeah. I went.
Anyone's Twitter account.
Yeah. I think maybe for me, like, something when Amy Winehouse died, I might have said something that wasn't incredibly sensitive, right? And I forget what it was. It wasn't about her. It was about her fans. It was just a general statement about how people seem to be more upset when people they don't know, never met, and who didn't care about them. You're more upset about them dying than your next door neighbor.
It's so true. That's not so true. And
she cared more about everybody who's crying. And I basically was all of you who are crying about her. Just know that she would have pressed a button to eliminate all of you just to get her next hit. she cared more about, and this is just about the addiction.
Yeah.
She cared more about the, you know, drugs. That's what being an addict is.
Right.
And we can all love, as somebody who knows a lot of public figures. Look, there's who we are, and this is for everybody. There's who you are, and there's who you leave your house and pretend to be. Now, there's varying degrees on how much you change that. But it's a rare person who's the same person in that house
for sure.
And out of that house. Now, you may be like 90% of yourself, or you may be 10. It's with everybody, man. You know, we're all a little different.
I was going to ask you about that. With stand-up comedy, do you subscribe to the notion that, like, every stand-up is a little bit disturbed in some sense?
Yes.
Like, right?
Well, none of us got into this job because, you know, we were secure with ourselves. You know, you're not like, man, I could use some more rejection in my life. Why don't I go have a room full of strangers stare at me for the first 5 years that I try this?
That sounds
like a lot of fun. Yeah. Why don't I just go ahead and take that mental beating and and develop some sort of habit that's going to be bad for me that I'm going to need to break.
Yeah,
but it's one of the reasons why it's hard for me. You know, like this whole thing that went down with Shane Gillis recently.
Sure.
It was hard for me to watch comics kind of go at each other. I have a profound respect for anybody who stands in front of that microphone because I know what it is. And I know what it takes to keep doing it. Yeah. And I know what it takes to keep doing it even when, you know, you're living in your car or you're working for chicken fingers or whatever it is, you know? You're trying to find your voice. You're trying to figure out how you're going to stand out. And usually most of us go through different incarnations of the type of comic we are trying to figure it out. So sometimes you're going to say things that you aren't proud of, that aren't funny, I'm not defending or not defending this dude as a comic, but like it was hard for me to watch everybody go at each other. But at the end of the day, man, like as a comic, I want to say what I want to say.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, then don't come watch it.
Nothing should be off limits.
Nothing should be off limits. I think what you say can have repercussions. I think we're past shock value comedy. Stern did it. When things hadn't been said, we were all shocked. At this point, if you want to jump into that material, you have to be smart.
Right.
Not because you have to be smart because people are going to say to you. Just for those jokes to sound fresh or interesting, you have to be smart. People have covered race. People have covered sex. It's been covered, everybody.
Right.
So it's past just saying words. But if you want to say those words, I defend your right 100% to say whatever it is you want to say. But just like everything else, you can't control people's responses. So say what you're going to say, but then don't get all fucking bent out of shape if people are mad about it. You knew what you were saying. You knew that people were going to get mad.
Yeah.
That's why you said it. You said it knowing people were going to get mad. If it really bothered you, you wouldn't have said it. So like for me, it's like a catch-22. You can say whatever the fuck you want, but know that it's going to bother some people.
Sure.
And know we live in an age where you're going to hear about it. So if you're cool with that, I'm totally cool with that. And if you're not cool with that, don't fucking bitch about people saying things. People are going to. And at the same time, hey, people who are on Twitter feeds, and you're the same people who leave reviews on Yelp. Get a fucking hobby. Holy shit.
Yeah.
If you don't like a sandwich, just don't eat it. I don't got to hear about it. The bread was stale. That's a fuck you.
That's the thing.
Go home and make a sandwich, you lazy fuck.
Yeah, I feel like most people have the urge to go online just to complain. Like, no one was like, I'm going to go online and write a rave review.
No.
Yeah.
They want to go just to shit on you.
When you get great service,
yeah,
you're never like, I want to go home and write a review.
Yeah.
But, man, you know, God forbid your potatoes were cold.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to let him hear it. Oh!
It's white women again.
Oh, yeah. Damn white women. But, you know, like, you're going to hear it. You're going to hear it. And so, like, yeah, if people spent less time focusing on what was wrong, more time focusing on what was right. That doesn't mean you can't fix what's wrong. But, like, when you're constantly complaining or focusing on what's wrong, that's the cloud that follows you in your life.
That's why comedy was always an outlet for me. What got you up on that stage? Like what drove you to start doing stand-up? And when? What age
I was
were you?
15 when I first got on stage, and I saw it on TV.
Yeah? Who was the comic that really got you?
Yeah, a couple.
Yeah.
Carlin.
Yeah.
Kinison.
Yeah.
Cosby. Pre-
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Post- Still funny, but you know what I mean?
Not as funny.
To, yeah, yeah. You know, it's just different listening to the jokes. They're still masterfully crafted.
100%.
Well, let me ask you something. Do you, when you hear a Michael Jackson song, you turn the channel?
No.
You turn the channel?
We've got a station down the hall that still plays him all the
still
time.
Still plays it. Yeah. I still like Billie Jean. I like Thriller.
What's
yeah.
not to like?
I don't know.
Are you
it's kind of like
snap
you have
fingers?
To separate, I guess, the artist from the music or the comic, you know, the person from the comedy.
Without right? a doubt. When I first got on stage, I know the first joke I ever told. My mom was there. My mom and dad in the front row. And the first joke I ever told was, "Hey, everybody, I'm Josh. I'm 15 years old. Really excited to be here because this is the first fucking time I'll be able to fucking swear in front of my sucking mom."
That's amazing for a 15-year-old. That's
first joke I ever told.
That's really funny.
Wait, where were you? Like, give us this. Give us the setup.
Coffee shop called the Iron Horse in Northampton, Massachusetts, and you know, I remember asking the guy, "What should I talk about?" And he was like, "You should talk about whatever you know." And all I knew were my parents. So I opened with that. And the only thing my parents said that was really funny, that I thought was funny, is they both fart a lot. So my whole set was about how bad they fart and their different styles of farting. And my dad is a fart walker. You know what I mean? He's a masterful fart walker. And yeah, so it was a lot of fart stuff.
Yeah.
15-year-old Josh.
15-year-old.
Yeah, by the way, this version of Josh, not so different. Still super funny. You know
still
what
love
I mean?
Fart jokes.
Listen, here's how you know farts are funny if you uptight. Here's how you know. A 6-month-old baby farts, laughs.
Yeah.
Funny at the beginning, funny at the end.
True.
That's it.
Yeah, nothing changes.
No, no, no. Across the board, funny. Across the board. I was talking the other day because I was in London and I had eaten a lot of food that I wasn't used to in London. And I was telling somebody the story about how I was in the back of this dude's cab and my stomach was hurting. And I was like, I'm just going to let just a little one out. And it was like a, you know when you fart and it feels like a hot razor blade, but it's just, and you make that noise that, ooh, you know what I mean? Like it hurts a little bit. You're like, ooh.
It was like shocking.
Yeah. You're like, ooh, yeah, yeah. And it just went, it really feels like a tiny paper cut. You're like, f***ing, god damn. You know what I mean? That one. So it happened in the car, but you know those hot razor blades.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as they come out, you're like, that is going to hurt everybody in this car. So... but I'm one of those guys who's like, well, I'm not rolling down the window. I want to see what his reaction is.
Wow.
he rolled down. First of all, yeah. Rookie mistake on his part. He rolled down his window, which brings all of the air. Just so you know, guys, if someone farts in the car and you don't want to smell it, roll down the window away from you because it brings the fart out that window. You roll down your window, you're getting hit. It goes right past your
friendly
face.
Fire.
Yeah, it's science.
Oh,
yeah,
that's my science right God. There. So he rolled down his window. And at first, he just cracked it. And so it was like a foot. And then I was like, oh, this fart's gaining steam. Like it's even getting worse back here. You know when it's thick that it doesn't travel in the air as quickly, you know?
Yeah.
So you know what I mean? It's like this pudding floating in the air. So it takes a little bit to get there. And my man, he rolled down a little bit. And like a second later, it was like, a little more. And then a second later, that was all the way down. He had his arm out the window.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was lounging. He was like, this f***ing guy. Oh, my God. I didn't notice that was on behind me. Yeah, he was like, this guy. Yeah. It was a bad.
What the hell did you eat in London? What are they serving over there?
A little bit of everything.
Yeah.
I think I had some bangers and mash.
Okay.
I had some tequila. I had some Indian food.
Oh.
Yeah, I went across the board. Oh, the Indian food was.
It's a nice mix.
Yeah. Oh, that was all at once. Yeah, I found some weed over in London, so that was fun.
Nice.
They put tobacco in there.
Oh, a spliff?
Yeah, I had never experienced that. I like it. I like
just
straight
give me
weed.
The real deal? Yeah.
I went a long time without smoking weed. When I was a single dad, I never smoked because I was like, honestly, I was just like, man, if God forbid some shit goes down and the police came and you're like, you know, like, shows up in a police report like he was high when we showed up. Like, oh, yeah. That doesn't look good.
Right.
So, but as soon as I got married, I was like, hey, I'm high every night. So, hope you like taking care of kids. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you. I tricked you. But
got her again.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I'm glad you don't smoke weed because I'm about to be high for the rest of my life. You know?
And I always loved watching High Live, but I saw on.
Taking a little break.
Yeah, I saw on Twitter you're taking a break. Do you do that like just to kind of cleanse the palate a little bit? Or what?
I'm not taking a break from smoking weed.
Just taking a break from doing the show?
In front of people.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's been 100% go for a little bit, and I need to pull back.
You do like 5 shows or something lately.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, I love it. I have so many different interests, and I love it. And I love performing, and I love creating, and I love finding new and fun things, but I need to also relax.
Yeah.
You know, a couple months ago, maybe 5 months ago, I ended up in the hospital and the guy was like, hey man, you're walking yourself towards a cliff.
Yeah.
He was like, basically you're here because this, because I used to make fun of when I heard exhaustion. He was like, you ever heard of the exhaustion? I'm like, yeah, I know. I've heard the word. He was like, that's what you have. Like, I was just standing at my house, and then I was just on, next thing I knew, I was on the ground. But I wasn't lightheaded. I didn't faint. It was like my body stopped working. And the guy was like, yeah, man, you're just, when your body stops working, it's just telling you something.
Yeah, I think so.
And he
scary.
Said, you can keep going. But he said, I see it here in LA all the time where you guys just are constantly on the grind.
Yeah.
And any downtime, you feel like you're wasting time.
Right.
But your next trip in here is a heart attack or a stroke. And I was like, hey, you flirting with me or what are we doing, man?
Yeah.
I'm pulling back a little bit just because I just feel, also, you know what? There's life.
Right.
And there's a lot of life I'm just not doing. And I want to do some more life.
Like what? Like, are there hobbies outside of comedy that you want to get yourself into?
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
I don't know yet. That's the problem.
Yeah.
My wife asked me the other day. She goes, I want to ask you something seriously. Take away working out. Take away stand-up and creating and performing. And then, you know, I love spending time with her.
Sure.
What do you like to do for hobbies? And she knew what the answer was, and she knew what I was going to say, which was, I don't know. It's been so long since I had one. There was something I decided I liked to do.
Yeah.
She said that, find something.
Is it funny? I'm the same way. Because you get yourself so immersed with work and doing my show and doing other events, and I'm like, I don't have a hobby.
But it's totally,
I do this.
In your brain, you totally justify it.
Sure.
But one of the reasons I'd take off my high life, it's not that hard, right?
Yeah.
It's not like a day's work.
Sounds pretty fun.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
But there are 0 days of the week where I have nothing planned. So I've done no days off.
For how long?
How long have I been doing the high life?
Long time.
That was the last day off I had.
Wow.
Monday was the last day that I had given myself. And so I just need day off. Not that what I do is so incredibly difficult, and there are people who do, you know what I mean? But like,
I totally get it. But you're on. You have to be on 7 days a week.
Yeah.
And so what I find it, because like, I think I get one day off usually. Sometimes I work Sunday, but normally I have Sundays off. Just unplug. I don't want to be funny. I don't want to be entertaining. I don't want to even talk. I want to watch football, drink some beer, and just like chill. You haven't had that. You don't get that. Right?
No, but I need to. And I'll tell you something, like, where I see it the most is I don't have as many friendships anymore. And that is one thing. That, look, at my age, you're not like, I got a new friend today.
People make fun of you as a guy. If you have a new friend, like, your boyfriend? Like,
yeah. You can't. It's hard to get new friends at a certain age.
It is.
But I would like to be more social with my peers.
Yeah.
There's so many great comics, men and women out there in LA that I just like.
Yeah.
And so I wish I did more of that. You know, I've fallen off with, you know, my oldest friend in comedy, Joey Diaz. And
oh, sure.
So I just need a little more time. My wife, too. It would be nice to spend a little more time with her. I don't really give a f*** about my kids, but... But I've seen enough of them. You know what I mean? I know I'm going to see them forever. So no urge.
Yeah.
They'll call me when they need some, which is a lot.
Yeah.
So I don't need to really set aside time to spend with them because I'll see them. But like, I stuff like that I really want to do. Honestly, man, you know, I jumped off this need that wanted like a, when I was in Auckland, New Zealand, I jumped off it's a Space Needle. And I'm, petrified of heights. My biggest
Same.
Fear. Biggest
Terrified
fear.
Of heights.
Biggest fear. But after I got down, I thought to myself, I want to do some more shit that scares
you. That's awesome.
That I'm not comfortable with. There's a guy named Elton Caste who his YouTube channel, I think, has 3 million viewers. It's TFIL. Something like that. Where he, but he's trying to get me to do some with him and his crew.
That's cool.
That is it TFIL? Is that what it is?
I found Elton Caste, 29 years old.
Yep. Right about that age where I shouldn't be dabbling in the same TFIL.
Yeah.
But it's to inspire change.
Yeah.
Wow.
And his page is really cool. He's a really smart, motivated young man. He tours with me sometimes. He's doing stand up now.
Oh, cool.
But, he has asked me a couple times, hey, man, come do this with us. I'm like, I'm a pussy.
Yeah. I'm the biggest pussy.
I'm a huge pussy.
Yeah.
I have no problem with.
I'm not a real man. I have no problem telling people that.
No,
I'm
me
afraid
neither.
Of heights. I don't
me too.
Do spiders. I don't like snakes. I'm a pussy.
I'll kill a spider.
I don't do horror movies.
You don't know horror movies?
Nah.
I do. I like to scream, but I scream like a bitch. I jazz hand and I scream high pitch. Not kidding. My brothers won't go see horror movies with me because I scream real loud and I jazz hand. It's embarrassing.
I'll do like the basics, like your Halloween, your Scream, like, you know, your typical ones.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I don't know how to fix things.
I am the least handy person in the world. My fiance, luckily, is like, you know, she's good with all that.
Yeah.
She's great, actually. She's painting the house right now as we speak.
Are you serious?
Swear to God. We have these columns in our house and she's painting them black. She's on a ladder painting our house.
Yeah, good job, man.
Right. And I don't do any of it.
Well, let me ask you, outside of money,
yeah,
what do you feel like you contribute?
That's a solid question, Joshua.
How do you contribute around the house? I really want to know.
We had a whole fight about this just recently. Ooh. Because you
scandalous, Josh.
Yeah, I recently did get myself sidetracked by being so focused on this, on work, and I let a lot of things die down around the house. Like, you get comfortable with when you're living with someone for a while. Mm-hmm. So I was doing the dishes, that kind of fell off. I was doing the trash, that kind of fell off. Just cleaning up after myself. Yeah. That kind of fell off.
And what is that what she said? You're lazy.
Pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
A nicer way of putting it. Because
does she work?
She does. She's an engineer.
Yeah,
she's smart as hell.
Beautiful, handy. I mean,
yeah.
Jesus.
So let's list the top five things you're contributing.
Man, it's not
outside
much.
Outside of money.
It's not much, man. I mean.
Top five.
I'm very
outside
romantic.
Outside of the
It's sort of this dude.
Yeah, I just want to get that
there's
out
money
before you
over here. Besides cash and I like to think that I'm very romantic. I do think of her, I bring home flowers once a week, I just bring her flowers, take her out to dinner,
Is this contributing? Is that?
It's
is
not
that...
contributing, no.
No, yeah.
But it's me trying to say I'm thankful for what you do.
Yeah, that's
for
nice.
What you bring to the table.
Okay.
This is my way of showing it.
You have pets?
Because we have a ton of pets. We
have. Who takes care of the pets?
We both do. That's a collective effort, I think.
Dogs? You walk
the
dogs?
We have a dog. That was another thing. Okay, so I forgot to walk the dog last week, and he pissed all over the house.
And who cleaned that up?
She got home from work before I did, so she did. And that's what started the whole fight.
By the way, my move for that is just to pretend like I didn't see it.
Right. Oh, yeah. I see nothing.
And if it's right up front,
yeah,
where you have to see it, I just close the door and pretend like I wasn't home yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll get the out of it. I'm like, hey, I'm not cleaning that up, so
you've been through this before.
Yeah, yeah. Is that I'm leaving. Okay.
Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah. I
did not discover this.
I can't wait to get the text. Rocky he did? I never saw that. Rocky's my son, by the way.
Yeah.
And have you changed your ways?
Yeah, I'm trying. This was very fresh. This is very raw, what we're bringing up right now. This is raw in the Bennett household. But I am changing. I am doing better, I think.
What chores do you feel like you really nail? Trash is easy.
Trash is easy. I can take out the trash
dishes,
with the best of them.
Dishes.
Dishes, I always it up because
how
I would leave
things.
That is the biggest excuse with guys is what I've found. Is I feel like I'll mess it up. There's no messing it up.
Well,
just wash the dish and
how
put
do you
it in.
Dishes.
I would leave stuff in the drain, and the trash compactor would get all like jammed and lodged up because I would like drop a small utensil in there and it would jam it up. And so every time that she went to go use the sink, it was always broken. So she was like, "You're no longer allowed to do the dishes." And I was like, "Cool. What else should I fuck up? I'm about to fuck up the washer and dryer next."
Okay, so
I can't wait.
Do you do your own laundry?
No, I used to. I kind of. Well, I know.
Do you do your own laundry?
A podcast. This is now an intervention.
Yeah, I do my own laundry. I wash my laundry. I fold my laundry.
Okay.
Okay, so you don't do your own laundry?
No, she kind of does that.
Okay, does she fold it for you?
Yeah.
What about making the bed?
She does that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Grocery shopping.
Half and half, depending on, who's available at the time and if we're out. I think that's kind of shared.
Cook.
She does most of the dinners. During the week. I help out during the weekend. See, I get home by like 7:30.
Yeah.
She's been home since 5, so she kind of takes that upon herself.
What do you think would be, if you could do two things where she'd be like, that is amazing. I'm so glad you're doing that now. What would those two things be?
Most likely taking the dog for a walk so he doesn't piss everywhere.
By the way.
Yeah.
What, for me, I was so happy that was my, I loved
Oh,
walking.
I love
walking. But you live where it can get cold and snowy, so.
For sure. And some days, you
know. What type of dog?
What's up?
What type of dog?
He's a beagle bulldog mix. He's super cool. He's 10 years old. He's got like a big stocky bulldog body. Like he looks like a beagle on steroids.
That's amazing.
He's really, really cool.
So, and what's his name?
Bookaboom.
Yeah. So walking Bookaboom,
he's a good boy.
Morning and night.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But like some mornings, like I'm rushing, I gotta get out the door.
Super cute.
Yeah. He's adorable.
But wait, you don't have to be at work till 2. What do you mean you're rushing in the morning?
Well, sometimes the days are different. Sometimes I gotta get in here earlier. Yeah, whatever. And I'm rushing. Yeah. 1:30, you know. I just
By
woke
the way,
up.
People listening are like, this guy is complaining he's gotta be to work at 2?
Yeah. What an asshole.
What I mean?
Yeah.
He works from 2 to 7
he
every
even
day.
Do dishes.
Yeah. Be doing the dishes and the laundry in the morning.
What time
I
do you
if
get
I did
up?
My laundry. What?
What time do you wake up?
So I've been doing this new thing now. So we're talking about like doing new things, things that scare you, or whatever, right? Some new hobbies. So this is a whole new me, right? I started running for the first time ever. I never used to run.
Okay.
I wake up now like 6:30, and I go running. I just ran my first half marathon 2 weekends ago. Uh-huh. So that's kind of been like a new hobby of mine. So I think I've also been focusing on that so much. I'm the type of person where I dive into something and nothing else matters outside of that.
I'm with that. Can I ask an honest question?
Yeah.
You don't have to be at work till 2.
Yeah.
Whoa. Why do you got to run at 6:30 in the morning? Can't you get up at 9 like a human?
What do you feel like,
you gonna beat the? I don't want. I gotta beat the rush. I think there's gonna be too many people out on your street jogging. What the psycho? What are you gonna get up at 6:30 in the morning to be out the door? Are you Rocky? What are you doing? You gonna drink your eggs? Why are you getting
I'm like
up at 6?
What
are you gonna get up 6? You just read in a book. The best jogging happens before 7. Gotta get up.
That's kind of my mentality. I was like, you know, I'm gonna be the best me. You know, I'm going to wake up early. I'm not going to drink the night before, you know, 6 a.m.
But do you feel like when that alarm goes off at 6:30, you're like,
I just hate life. Yeah.
Thank God. Yeah. But, I mean, can't you get up at 9? You still have 5 hours before you've got to be anywhere, man. And then you still feel like, what time is your fiance get up?
She wakes up like an hour after I do.
Wait, you don't even have to get up, and you wake her up with your alarm to go run for no reason?
I go run.
Hey, by the way, that's the first thing you should work on, man.